Third hour, DDC here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day so far. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Let's bring in Coach Stack, Jerry Stackhouse, on the line with us. Coach, how we doing?
Good afternoon, fellas. I'm doing great. Thanks.
How's your summer been so far?
Oh, man, it's been pretty busy, pretty active, pretty relaxing, all in the same breath, man. I've been enjoying it a little bit. I have a little vacation before we got back here to start summer school, so I'm got a dark tan right now, so I'm feeling pretty good.
You been hitting them straight?
I'm hooking them a little bit, which I think is a good thing. You know what I'm saying? So they're not slicing, so I guess my golf coach would take that.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I get into the hook category, my slice is so bad, I'm just done. Like, it's just time to hang them up because I got enough problems. I don't need the hook. I'll get the hook from golf if I get down that path. So we were talking earlier, and I just want to get your perspective on this because you have to handle this. You dealt with it as a player and now as a head coach. Just how do you handle when, let's just say, there's a condition or something going on with a student athlete, a kid of yours, and whether it could be anything. It could be mental health is now a big deal in our society, right? We're more open in talking about this, or, you know, even talking about asthma or a condition, something behind the scenes. How do you go about trying to figure out if they're not available, then how are you going to address that publicly? It's a fine line, right? And what's the path you take?
Well, no, I mean, I think obviously with, you know, the different protections that they have within the university, you know, so you can't really talk about those things publicly. But, I mean, I think this is something that we want to address. I mean, because it's real. I mean, I think everybody deals with it. Again, like, it's kind of been taboo, kind of hands-off subject, you know, in the past. But I think it's becoming more and more, you know, and I don't mean to use the word rampant, but it's more, you know, it's just, it has more of a presence than it ever has before. Or maybe just wasn't, you know, just been ignored in the past. But I think now, you know, we're encouraging guys to talk. If you have, you know, having some issues, you're thinking about some different things, make sure we use the resources that we have, you know, for you and take advantage of it and don't feel afraid. Be afraid to step out there, even if it's not something that you're dealing with yourself. If you're seeing your teammate dealing with something, make sure that you share that so it's not, you know, something that maybe that could get caught early that turns into, looms into something a lot larger. So we're definitely, you know, more sensitive to that, and obviously their protection, but we definitely want to have open dialogue about it.
How did you handle that as a player? If you know, whether it was you or a teammate, and, you know, media's asking questions, you're limited or you're not playing. How did you handle that? And what was kind of the input behind the scenes when you were playing?
Well, I mean, I think for me, it was, again, back then, it was just like, man, everybody's kind of dealing with their own thing. We handled a lot of things and, you know, ourselves, you know, whether it was right, wrong, or indifferent, still, we just kind of, you know, any issue, things that we're feeling about that, we just kind of deal with internally as opposed to really talking to somebody, which I probably would have talked about some things, you know, more at that point. It was kind of, you know, like it's kind of like honor amongst the, you know, the locker room, keeping things in. And we used to get, when I was the Players Association for the NBA, they used to come around and they used to do skits about that. Like, you have somebody struggling and you know, and trying to feel a good way to share. Not only, again, you don't want to feel like you're snitching on your teammate, but at the same time, you see something there that's really not right. And they used to do skits like that and you know, kind of role playing stuff. And I thought it was really, really good. It shows different scenarios where if you see this is happening, whether it's drugs or alcohol or different things like that, to find a way to step up and you know, not be a whistleblower, but you might be a lifesaver.
Where are you at? We've been talking with you since you were hired, you know, throughout this journey so far at Vanderbilt. Where are you at in the process? What, you know, your vision and moving into next season? Where do you think the program is right now?
I think it's at the highest point that it's been since we've been here. I think we've been able to really grow, you know, pretty quickly. I think we, you know, just kind of a turnaround and the season that this past season to get to where we were from, you know, other teams that, you know, didn't win a game in their conference. I think that we, I think Andy put together, you know, just kind of some stats and different stuff about where we were, and probably done it faster than anybody else in, you know, in the country over the past 25 years of being able to get to the, you know, our win total from, you know, our first season to now. So we feel good about that part. We feel good about, you know, the guys that we, you know, we've grown in our program, the pieces that we've been able to add to this year. And I think this is probably like the first year that we really feel that, you know, we could possibly have to redshirt somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's just that type of depth that we think that we have going in. Obviously, injuries and all those type of things factor in and could change that. But it could be, you know, where in the past we had to see what everybody could do. You know what I'm saying? We need, you know, see if you're at this level, if you can play. We, you know, all of that was part of that process. But I mean, I think now, you know, returning eight guys the way that we did, eight guys that have been contributors for us, is, you know, kind of a, you know, that's a big number in today's, you know, college basketball, you know, with the transfer portal and, you know, Neil and all these different things becoming at the forefront of everything. But, you know, we feel good about our process, man. I think that's the most thing. You never know, you know, whether any of these kids can come in here, can play, can they come in and handle what needs to happen, you know, in the classroom from them and manage the time management. We don't know all those things until they're here, but the only thing you can do is kind of trust your process. And I think that's what we've, you know, we kind of hung our hat on, and it's, you know, gradually got us to the point where we feel, you know, feel good about, really, really excited about this week and our guys getting back here. And we've been able to put 15 guys on the court that we feel that can contribute to us winning in the SEC.
Jerry Stackhouse is with us, Vanderbilt head basketball coach. And, Coach, that's something that when you were playing, I don't think you could do as a team, right? Gather your team together in the summer. I guess unless you were going overseas to play some games, which you could do every so often, I guess it's got to be nice for you, a person that really loves to develop the players. And the camaraderie you build over the summer can really be valuable.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think it's just good just to be able to get in. As long as we don't have as much hours as I wish we could have. You know, it's pretty much 8 hours a week in the summer, and four of those are accounted for strength and conditioning, and 4 hours on the court. And, you know, some days we may split it up, and, you know, 1 week you may go, you know, for a couple 4 hour sessions and do like individual work. But I like to, you know, some of those weeks just to go 2 times a week and just do 2 hours, because it seems like as soon as you get in there for an hour, it goes so fast that you really don't really get a lot accomplished. So, and then it kind of gives our guys a feel of a real practice, and there's no, you know, no culture shock in the fall when they get here, like they're expecting anything different. No, the exact practice that we just had for these 2 hours is pretty much what you're gonna see during the course of the year, and we're able to get in our drills and do all those things. So the onboarding process kind of takes care of itself here in the summertime, so we can really, you know, hit the ground running in the fall. So that's kind of been, you know, our approach, and this year is our year for our foreign trip. So we're going to, you know, be allotted a few more practices and everything, and the travel time and the camaraderie that we'll build from going over to, you know, I think we're going to France and Italy, and, you know, so it should be a really, really fun trip for our team and our staff and our family.
Boy, it sounds great. Now, you just alluded to it. Down in Destin, there's all kinds of talk about how do we do this NIL thing properly? What's the right way to do it? And coupled with the transfer portal, where it's so easy for a player maybe to say, okay, let me look around a little bit. What's out there? How do you try to deliver the message to a player saying, you know what, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. If you stick it out and develop here, you're going to be on a great pathway.
Well, I think our guys really value, you know, the guys that decide to come to Vanderbilt, they know what they're getting. They're getting a world-class education. And I think that they value that, and that their families value that. And, You know, quite honestly, we just hadn't had a lot of our prospects that have been on that type of time. Not that some of them won't be in the future. We're seeing some of their, you know, teammates and peers, you know, getting different things it's not on the horizon. I think it is on the horizon, but again, just frankly for us, it just hadn't been that to that point for us. Right, there, guys, been coming here because they've seen the development of our guys that we've had and how we've gotten better as a team and how some of those guys have transferred to what they've learned here to being able to play at that next level, which is, I think, a lot of the aspiration for most of these guys. And I think it's us having a blueprint and, you know, Scotty, even him, you know, him going and having a great combine and, you know, people talking about how well he just, you know, flowed into understanding, you know, the system and terminology of what was going on there. That was probably one of the biggest recruiting tools that we could have. You know, it's more so than us telling them anything. When you have our guys, you know, Aaron, when he does an interview and he's talking about the development that he had here, that his transition into that next level. So those are the best recruiting tools that we could possibly ask for, and that's why we're going to, again, like I said, continue to trust our process. And again, as we, you know, learn more, I think, you know, we hope to be at the forefront of trying to figure this thing out, because it's not figured out all the way, and there needs to be a lot more discussion. I mean, I have some ideas about it, that, you know, in my opinion, but again, it's just my opinion, and I've shared those with Candace. I'm looking to have some kind of a think tank with her and Chancellor Dearmeyer, some, you know, my contacts at the Players Association, my contacts at the NBA office. Let us just have a real think tank. Even I mentioned it to Greg Sankey when we was there, and he's open to it. So I think just being able to have these type of relationships and not, you know, not take advantage of it in a time like this when we're trying to figure it out, it would be crazy. So I'm trying to put that together so we can kind of help, you know, push this thing along and figure out the best way for it to do it, you know, and I don't think anybody has come up with the best way yet, but we'll figure it out. There's too much money to be made, you know. The game is growing, our leagues are growing, revenue is growing. I think we can find a way to include you know, the players, or now it's becoming like, you know, when you hear people talk, they're not really recruiting, it becomes talks.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're negotiations now. And I think the best, ultimately, when you start talking about negotiation, as much as you hate to say the word pay for play, that's what it's going to boil down to, and we just got to understand that that's the reality that we live in now.
Before we let you go, you just referred to it. Of course, Scottie Pippen's preparing to turn pro. You've got Aaron Nesmith, a player that you had a really good hand in developing, is on the Celtics. Luke Kornet's over on the Celtics. Even Matt Ryan, who Vanderbilt fans will remember, has played a little bit in the NBA this year. That's a really exciting thing. That's just the Celtics. Now, of course, you got Darius as well out there doing great things. So looking ahead to this year's group, you've got them, you know, it was something to look forward to. But when you lose a guy like Scottie Pippen, of course, he was such a unique player. He had the ball in his hands so much. He was a great distributor. How is it going to evolve just not having him around? What do you have to do, especially offensively, to run things differently and still be just as effective?
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a game that we're in, man. It's a game of basketball where, you know, these assets that you have, no matter what, how great they are, they're fungible assets. You know, you have, they're replaceable. And, I mean, again, it's a tough one to replace, but I'm confident that they'll replace them. I feel like somebody else would step into those roles. I mean, you know, Scotty was an alpha. He was a dominant. If he wasn't here, somebody else probably would have stepped up into his role and had more, you know, that type of presence with our team. But, you know, there's a hierarchy, but that hierarchy has to be established. It has to be established not even under our whistle. It's when they're out there playing pickup and, you know, playing 4-on-4 and playing 3-on-3 and playing knockout, you know, playing 1-on-1. Those are where the hierarchy is established, and I think, you know, we're looking for other guys to step up and be that. We feel very confident that we brought in some guys that have that type of makeup, but again, you never know. So it's just the only thing you can do is trust your process of how you go about it, and then we'll live with the results.
Great job. Great interview. Go reward yourself with some hair bow, okay? Have a great rest of your day.
I sure will, man. I appreciate you guys. All right.
Thank you, Coach. Talk to you down the road. Jerry Stackhouse, appreciate him joining us here today. We'll come back, talk about that on the other side. Plus, we'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel in this hour as well. More DDC next. Good stuff from Coach Stack. Robbie Stanley will join us to begin the final hour. Mike Vrabel in the on-deck circle at the bottom of the hour. We'll hear what the coach had to say today back at it OTAs. Plus, we'll also hear from a guy on defense that they're counting on this season, which some people on a national platform don't even know who he is. They may know who he is after this season.
Deion had that problem with
a
player in the past.
He did.
On the Titans.
And if he didn't know...
He's in a different line of work now.
He is. He definitely doesn't know the NFL rosters now.
Probably is not paying that much attention.
Probably is still mad at Little Nicky because he was also called out, like Jimbo. When Little Nicky named names... Deion was
well. Just think about how much a coach has to deal with right now. We just heard from Jerry Stackhouse. It's well documented the feud going on, the philosophical feud going on with all coaches. Everybody wants to weigh in. Everybody probably has a slightly different view of what the system should look like. But when you couple together, like when Jerry Stackhouse took the job, there was no NIL. And you still couldn't transfer freely without sitting out. Now, since he's taken over, you have both of those things happening. So every coach now has to react to that and deal with it. And what has happened a lot in college basketball, and it's been public, that Nick Saban referred to it. He said, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just reading what's in the newspapers. There was a couple of Miami players that basically said, if you want me to stay, I need... X money. What was it, like 400 grand or something?
Isaiah Wong wanted a promotion, essentially, in his NIL package.
A promotion?
Yes. It's called being re-upped. Like Aaron Donald. They gave him a promotion yesterday.
Did. But he's a professional player.
He is.
He's not a college player.
Well, look, who's kidding who? What's the difference?
Well, that's where it's gone.
What's the difference?
That is where it's gone overnight. And when you have the ability to leave and you don't even have to sit out, it has gone to warp speed. So when we sit here doing this show, we can like it. We can not like it. We can like some things about it, not some things about it. But the coaches have to deal with this world every day. I'll never forget Kermit Davis when he was coaching at Middle Tennessee, and this was being proposed, the transfer. Forget NIL. Mm. He was saying, I don't like this at all. He said, can you imagine the burden on coaches having to basically – try to corral your team every year on top of trying to recruit the next guys to come in. And now on top of that, now you have to worry about losing a guy because you just can't pay him.
Look, I'm
what
pro
somebody
Kermit,
else can pay.
You know that. I'm pro.
Yes.
I love Kermit Davis. We know that. Anybody who's listening to the show, you know that. He benefited greatly from transfers. Their best runs were because of some big-time transfers.
But it's a domino effect. Now there's even going to be more transfers. And so it's just going to be a very, very difficult thing to build continuity. Jerry Stackhouse, you could tell talking to him, he wants desperately the continuity. He wants the same team with the same guys for a few years, at least the regular turnover, so you can develop them. They get their degree. They move on to either play professionally, or when they're done play professionally, they're in a position to have a career because of the degree they are. That's really what you hope for as a coach. But the reality is it's getting harder and harder to deal with that. And you could hear him sort of giving his – he goes, I've got ideas on where the NIL can fit. He says, I went to Candace Lee. I talked to Greg Sankey about it. But he's just one voice. And every coach, I'm sure, has their own ideas on how this – works best for their school, works best for their players. Everybody understands that it's here to stay, but it's going to take years for this to shake out a certain way, and there's a lot of uncertainty right now because there are no rules, and some teams have jumped to this basically, all right, well, Let's just pay guys. That's where it was. It wasn't anything other than that. We got to win. We can pay guys. Let's pay them.
He did say that he feels like this is the best place it's been since he's been there. He seemed pretty excited.
And that's even after losing Scottie Pippen to the pros.
Now, he said it's got to play out, but he says right now.
Well, he's got some guys.
Look, if you're talking about redshirting right now, then that means you've got real depth. Right? If you're already throwing that out in June.
He's got a good nucleus of guys coming back. Like he said, 8-9 guys that he's had now, I think that he feels pretty good about. It'll be interesting at guard without Scottie Pippen. He had the ball. I don't know what percentage of the time he had the ball in his hands.
He's the top 7 in terms of usage in the entire country.
Usage in terms of having possession of the ball?
Yeah, whether he means he scored, shot, or assisted on.
Yeah.
I mean, almost 40% of their possessions while he was on the floor.
Yeah, and I didn't word the question very well to Coach Stackhouse, but the formula's got to have to change, right? And that could be a fun thing to conjure up, fun thing for the players in some ways. You can have the ball more. But you got to do it in a different way because Scottie Pippen was generating a ton of offense.
How crazy is it how many guys from Vanderbilt?
It's amazing.
Guys in this state that are just on the Celtics roster.
Yeah.
Grant Williams is on that roster.
And playing very well. He is a key part of what they do defensively.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guys from Vanderbilt aren't playing as much. Matt Ryan, I didn't even realize he was in the league, let alone on the Celtics. Because, of course, he left Vanderbilt after the debacle. Remember the end of the Bryce Drew thing? It didn't go well. And there was some guys that left, but it shows you how much talent they had on that team.
He could shoot.
How in the world did that team go 0-20 even after? Figure they should have won a couple games in there.
Yeah, I think you can throw the Q word around for that one. I feel like they'd probably quit the last.
It was a total collapse.
That team was way too good.
You use the C word. I think it was more the Q word.
Yikes.
Collapse. They did collapse, but I think it was – probably a little bit of
an effort
quitting.
Yeah.
Everything that could have gone
been
wrong.
Lacking
wrong.
Some effort there at the end.
And the snowball just kept rolling down the hill faster and faster.
In other words, we've pulled the ripcord. We're done. Our season, we're done.
It was over.
All right, we'll come back. Mike Vrabel, we'll hear from the head coach, what he said today at OTAs. We'll do that next. Back here on the DDC, we'll switch gears in the final hour and talk a little hockey with Robbie Stanley from Robbie and Rex Road. Plus, I may address an email that has got us scratching our heads. I don't know if it's real or not. And maybe we'll take it to the airwaves or not, but I am just thoroughly confused on is it real or is it fake? But right now, we hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
Mike, no surprise that you all used most players in any season last year. The NFL owners made the change limiting the return from IR to 8 instead of unlimited as you had last year. Does that maybe put, and they expanded the number of games before you return from 3 to 4, how much tougher does that maybe, once you get into the season, decisions when it comes to health and, you always put a priority on staying healthy, but with the tightened rules on IR return, does that make it even more important to be as healthy as possible this year?
Well, they're not our rules. They're just the NFL rules, and we try to follow them the best that we can. We'll see how it goes. See how many guys are going to be out for an extended period of time. We'll have to manage the roster like we do every year. That's going to be important.
Mike, Caleb was saying how he feels mentally stronger than ever. How does that show up on a regular basis inside the building?
I think that's about the only place that it can right now with the the work that he's doing. Just because he really hasn't been tested. But what he's I think just really ahead of where he was obviously last year mentally. Which is a great sign, is that he's taking the time in the off season. He was ready to go before we started installing. He wanted an iPad. He's working on his rehab. He was focusing on things that he could do while he was rehabbing, and that translated to a good understanding, a very strong understanding of what we're going to be doing. He's been able to get some work in. As you guys can see, that's been limited, but that's all we ask him to do is focus on the things that they can do.
You'll be at the mini camp next week. What's left, or what are you going to do next week that maybe you hadn't done yet?
I guess you'll find out next week, Jimmy.
What have you liked about what you've seen so far, and what needs to improve?
Well, I mean, I think we're trying to get into some conditioning. I think there's, you know, been some days with some heat. You know, we saw us move down here into the red zone, the high red, which is critical. You know, that we, you know, play well on both sides of the football in that area. But we will, you know, we'll continue to move down into the red zone. Always leery of that and the speed, because the distance is, you know, space is decreased. So without pads on, it's, you know, it's critical that we're smart, you know, but also introducing those low red concepts on offense and defense.
Picks of Jeffrey Simmons at the Von Miller camp. You like guys going to, you know, various individual camps like this, whether it's tight end, whether it's defensive line or so forth. You appreciate what they can gain from those kind of things?
I don't know. I haven't been to them, so I wouldn't know what they could gain or what they do.
Colton Woodside has had a lot of game reps other than preseason and all. What are some of the things that he's done that's kind of earned your trust and his teammates' trust?
Well, he prepares. You know, prepares as the starter. He hasn't had to. But he's got great command of our offense. You know, I think that continues to show. I think his leadership has improved. His ability to get guys, you know, lined up, hold them accountable. You know, but it's different, and we're going to have to give those guys opportunity to compete. You know, in a training camp and every opportunity that we can here in practice when we, you know, scrimmage. But his understanding of what we're doing, the details of the play, the progression, getting us in the right protections. You know, that's all been really, really positive.
Rob Moore said today that Traylon's been dealing with a setback from asthma. How confident are you that Traylon will get that worked out and be ready to go for the start of the training camp in the preseason?
Yeah, very confident. You know, I mean, that's got a lot of confidence in all our players to prepare. And, you know, we got a few weeks, you know, quite a few weeks here before we do go to training camp.
Are you surprised by that?
Surprised by what? I try not to get too surprised, but I mean, I'm sure you guys will disagree, but
the asthma setback with Traylon.
No, and that's not, you know, I mean, we deal with a lot of different things. He just, you know, that's something a lot of guys deal with. Again, we've touched on this.
Practice today, is there a specific reason for that, and how do you feel about your first round pick not being out of practice today?
He was unavailable.
I assume, did you guys know that he had asthma? Is that something that's covered?
Yeah, there's a long medical history, yeah. Anything else?
Garrett, did you know a little bit about him, you know, through Ohio State ties or anything like that? Or
no, I mean, obviously, I, you know, watch him when I can, but we got business to do here. Didn't, you know, been a while since we recruited him. Spent time with him, some good time with him at the pro day. Understand the program that he's come from, and, you know, he's, you know, that group of young defensive linemen is you know, positive. And I mentioned they're all kind of different, right? They all kind of not only look different, they got a different skill set. And so excited to see what those guys can do and the role that they can develop when training camp comes.
Mike, when you have a guy like Chig who kind of has all the physical tools but maybe needs to obviously refine and learn the offense, what's the challenge in a tight end position where he can do some things like 7-on-7 and run routes, but you also need him to block and do all the things on the line that he can't be all that physical right now, and how's he coming along with that?
Well, I mean, I think he's doing everything that we're asking him to do. It's, you know, it's hard to get some of those reps that you're going to need against another body without pads on. But we're also going to have to, you know, do a good job and be creative in how he, you know, does block and where we put him. I mean, it's not going to hold up against a 280-pound defensive end that, you know, that wouldn't be fair. So hopefully we can continue to find ways to have him be in there and help us. When we do run the football and do some of the things that his natural skill set would lend him to be able to do when we throw the football, which, you know, is showing up more and more.
Mike, Dylan says he wants to win the right tackle job. Do you want him to win this right tackle job?
Yeah, I mean, I want every player that's competing for something to get it. I mean, he's worked hard. He's put a lot of time in, and he knows that he's going to have to go to training camp and earn a spot like most everybody else. I mean, obviously, there are some spots here that, you know, you'd feel pretty good about. But, you know, Dylan is excited about competing. He hasn't, you know, shied away from it. He's worked hard. So looking forward to a great training camp with him.
Mike, how do you view the spring and guess the balance of installing stuff and specifics, but also versus, you know, culture, getting in shape, things like that, like compared maybe even to other teams or even how you did it as a player, what's your overall, I guess, philosophy on the goal of the spring?
Well, it's improvement, it's development. We'd asked every player and coach to be willing to make a connection with their teammates and with the coaching staff, understanding that, you know, not everybody's going to be best friends. You're going to have a different relationship with some others than you will, some guys. But just be willing during this time of the year to create those, you know, connections, be willing to learn, be willing to improve. And, I think for the rookies, I kind of noticed some of this install kind of gets to be a lot. So we've, you know, that's why you see some of the two-spot stuff is where those guys can focus on maybe some of the base stuff and allow them to develop. I think that there was, you know, once you get into 6 and 7 installs, I started to see, you know, a little bit of regression that I thought we were, you know, from where we were. And so they've dialed back, and now they're just able to focus on maybe some of the earlier stuff and see if they can continue to improve. And then with the veteran guys, we just have to keep plowing ahead, and then we'll give it to them again once we get to training camp.
You altered that
at all? I think we do that, you know, based on really each and every week, each and every day. And whatever we did 3 years ago is going to be different. There's going to be some similarities, and, you know, it's the same with training camp and through the season. We see where the team is and kind of try to make a decision what's best for them.
Along those lines, the last few years, this time of year has been atypical. As you head into mini camp, are you able to remember just how valuable this time is for some of the younger guys and rookies to get ready to go?
Well, I mean, I think it's critical for everybody. I mean, I think that spending time with your coaches and your teammates and doing stuff, I mean, we ran plays to yesterday and today that we've scored touchdowns on or defended in the season. You know, to say that those reps don't mean anything, I don't agree with that. You know, I showed the team numerous examples of stuff that we did in OTAs that we used in the season.
Like, how excited are you to get the guys that haven't been here back next week and have the team whole as one?
Well, I mean, I'm excited to coach everybody that comes, and I would imagine most of those guys will come that haven't been here. Just because they bring, you know, I mean, each of them brings something new and different and exciting, and I have relationships with them, and so it's just more guys adding to what we have here and the dynamic of building a team with different personalities and different people and different skill sets.
Talking about Logan Woodside out there, what's he shown over the last 4 years to, you know, have you guys comfortable with him as far as running the system and understanding the way things operate?
I mean, I think he just comes in, he competes, and the guys that we've had him compete against, he's outplayed them, outperformed them in training camp because, you know, his understanding of where to go with the football and the you know, the audibles, the checks, all the different things that go into playing quarterback.
Have you talked to Derrick Henry recently or touched base with him about how he's doing this offseason?
No, I just usually just check on Instagram. I don't check him on Instagram. That was a joke, Emily.
There you go. Mike Vrabel joking around. Seemed like in his good mood.
Jovial.
Jovial is a good word. Jovial.
Jovial.
He was very jovial this morning. Very jovial with the media. We'll come back, wrap up the third hour, discuss some things we heard there from the head coach. We'll do that next. Okay. No Treylon Burks today. We learn from Rob Moore. Rob Moore is the one who put it out there that Treylon Burks has asthma. I'm not surprised. When this discussion first came up, I said on the show, no doctor, no idea if this my gut feeling is inhaler. Well, it's probably asthma. It's going on in our house. Son's got asthma. Sounds like asthma to me, so I'm not surprised by it. I don't believe it's that big of a deal. I'm not sure why Mike Vrabel wants to skirt around the issue of asthma. But, again, there you go. And he didn't seem like he wanted to address it now. Again, even though now that it's out there, He still didn't seem that interested in discussing it. And I don't know. Look, I don't know what he's supposed to say at this point now. But, again, Burks is not out there. Mike Vrabel can keep shutting down this question. They're not going to go away. It's not going to – again, this is their first-round pick. They traded up. They traded A.J. Brown, their number one receiver, to get Philadelphia spot, which means they moved up and they selected this guy. This guy is going to be compared. It's not. He's not going to escape it. He's going to be compared to A.J. Brown. Everybody's going to be watching what A.J. Brown does this year, and everybody's going to be watching what Treylon Burks does. There's no way to get out from underneath that. So Mike Vrabel can keep acting like this is, folks, this is not a big deal. It will be a big deal, and he's not going to be able to escape it, even if he wants to keep shutting it down over and over and over again. But is there a concern, with that being said, that his the fact that he has been really unavailable for OTAs, and I believe, is it next week, the mandatory?
Yes.
There's a mandatory camp next week.
Yep.
So OTA is, air quotes, voluntary.
Sure.
But next week is mandatory camp.
It, you know, look, there's no way around it. He's a very important player. Your first round pick always is, but he is on top of that even more important. So every rep is important. And now we're dealing with this, and he did not verify that it was a setback due to asthma. That's how Jared worded the first question. I didn't hear Rob Moore say he's had a setback due to asthma. He just said he has asthma is what I heard. But we, you know, you're putting two and two together.
Well, hold on. I mean, we've got the clip. Elijah, the clip from this morning when TD asked. TD didn't directly ask.
He didn't even ask about asthma.
He asked about.
I know there's been a lot of scrutiny.
Yes.
There's been some negativity. What are some of the positives?
The good things, right.
That you're seeing from him?
Traylon's worked hard, comes in early in the morning, board work, walkthroughs, everything you could think of, mobile client. We do it's a lot of different things to try and shorten the learning curve and get him caught up to speed.
A lot of focus on the negative with him. You know, it's just the problems he had starting off. But what are some of the positives that you've been able to gather?
That's unfortunate. You know, some of those things that happen kind of out of his control, just – you know, a kid, you know, he's got asthma, you know what I mean? Those things, you know, happen. But, you know, in regards to, he understands what the expectations are.
Okay, so.
So he didn't say today question, specifically he missed because of asthma.
You could probably
draw that conclusion,
well,
but I don't
you
know. No, you can't for
I
sure.
Mean, I can't.
No.
Again, I'll go back to, I don't believe unless he is having a combination of, look, and that can happen. We've talked about this as well. You move here, it is a culture shock for a lot of people's bodies. It was for mine. I told you the first 4 months I lived here, I thought I was going to die. I didn't know what was going on. This was almost 25 years ago. I had never dealt with allergies. I didn't know anything about allergies. I move here, and I thought I was going to die. I didn't know what was going on. And then I go, and I go to the doctor, and they're like, you got allergies. And I'm like, huh? So maybe it's a combination of that with the asthma. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's something else that's going on. They won't say why he's not there. Again, speculation. It just leaves everybody left to speculate. Why? Why isn't he there?
Well, Mike Vrabel did not correct Jared when Jared specifically said a setback due to asthma.
Correct.
Because he misquoted Rob Moore. Rob Moore did not say that. Specifically, he had a setback due to asthma. He said he has asthma.
Yes. He was just basically
asthma
addressing.
Is a constant thing. He will always have asthma.
Yes.
He has had asthma probably for a long, long time, or at least whenever it was diagnosed. I don't know if it happened as a young kid or somewhere along the line, but he's probably just didn't get asthma when he got to Nashville.
No. No.
So
I do not believe that.
I don't know why that's even
that's, just my
that's
opinion,
why he missed practice
that
today. And Mike Vrabel probably is not in much of a mood to fill in the gaps on that, but the fact remains that it seems like every practice there is a question. Is Treylon out there? Is he not out there? Is he playing some? How much is he in there? How much did he come out? Yeah, he came out a little bit. He came back in. You know, this is the thing.
Well, it's not his fault.
It's not
but
his
unfortunately,
fault.
AJ Brown has set that precedent, right? Because he is the replacement. And the only negative, well, one of the negatives, it became other negatives came about this offseason with his whole weirdness on Twitter and everything else. But the real negatives playing was his availability, right? That was really the only thing in question. When A.J. Brown was available and upright and out there, he was very effective in the league. But it was about him being available. So, unfortunately, he has to walk under that same cloud. And he's been here in a very short amount of time, and he hasn't been available much, if at all.
And it's super early, but this is just got trouble
but
signs.
We could have said that with A.J. Brown, and it never changed. We could have said, well, it's super early, so nothing to see here.
But the super
but
early, A.J. Brown was impressive, right? He was impressing in the offseason workouts. He was getting on the radar before he started going into the games, and then it was like, yeah, this guy, everything we thought might be true is true. This guy could play. Every wide receiver who comes into the league, you don't know if he can play, even if he has a good preseason. You're not really sure he can play until you get him out there and he starts producing. So you have everything that's inhibiting him from getting work in, preparing for this first season where he's going to be such an important player. It's, you know, I don't blame the media for really having him under the microscope and asking about this. And it's unfortunate because the other backstory that is completely out of Treylon Burks' control is that the previous first-round picks have had so many issues like this. It's like they can't get around it. They just can't have one work out perfectly, although it is only mid-June. So I'm not ready to panic yet, but it's just unfortunate for Treylon Burks that he couldn't be out there. Let's hope next week goes better.
Again, it's mandatory camp next week. We'll see. We'll see if that changes. And to me, if he's not, then maybe it's not what we're talking about. Maybe something else is going on that they're not addressing, right?
Something beyond asthma?
Yes.
Or related to, but not only?
No, not related to. It could be, what if he's got something else going on that they're just not willing to discuss?
Well, according to Mike Vrabel, he was unavailable.
Right. I know.
And he did not specify
what if
why.
He's got a groin injury? What if he's got a hamstring? I don't know.
Then he would join a long list of
exactly. That's
rookies
my point.
That have been dinged up in the...
That's my point. By the way, William on our text line, I want to pass this along before we get out of here for hour number three and switch gears to the Preds to begin the final hour. He wants to pass along that he loved the Flatbush Zombies coming out of the break. So, Elijah, DJ Elijah, props to you.
Yeah,
William gave you two thumbs up. All right, we'll come back. Robbie Stanley, Robbie and Rex Road, mornings leading up to our show 6 to 10. Will join us to begin the final hour. That's next.